You're listening to the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast, episode 70, a very controversial episode.
Kind of cool development over the weekend, or Friday. So do you remember, so this is sort of a continuation of this, like, long-running drama, and just more evidence that Steve Jobs is a genius and is always right. You should trust him always.
We did not be biased about these things. I love it.
So the next generation video codec, H.265, has been approved. And that sounds really
funny.
Yeah! Yeah, it's great. Video codecs. And it is actually kind of boring from a technical perspective. But what it's capable of doing is pretty awesome. Basically, H.264, if you remember correctly, was a video format that was really popular because it was something that was supported by HTML5. HTML5 was this new way of coding, or the next step in coding your websites. It was just starting to take off when the iPhone kicked off. And obviously the iPhone didn't come with Flash. Flash didn't run videos with the H.264 format, and so there's this big problem of all the videos are in formats that won't run on the iPhone, and if you make them run for the iPhone, they won't run for Flash, and so there's this big hubbub, and then Adobe fixed that like a week later. They were like, okay, we'll make Flash run. Yeah, she's like, oh yeah, I guess you could just do that. But it was still pretty controversial because at the time, like, H.264 was owned by a consortium, and even though they weren't charging for it, they could in the future, and even though they promised they never would, there was like no contracts, and so Google didn't want to adopt it. It was just a lot of drama.
Google even started, or they made their own, right? What is it, VP8 or something?
Yeah.
Like that? Which, for some reason, I always think of carrot juice, but...
Exactly. VP6 was what was running prior on for Flash. VP8 was competitive. It had the same quality, but it was, like, quote-unquote open. Well, but Steve Jobs, is always right, and so H.264 really took off. Because what they found was that if you did it for H.264, suddenly you could have one format. It worked on the iPhone. It worked on any browser that was based on WebKit, which eventually Chrome was based on, and Firefox. And it ran on, eventually it would run on Android phones, and it ran in Flash. So it was this, like, all-purpose standard, and it worked pretty well. And everybody was happy. Yay!
Yay!
But the problem is that it's old, and new computer science is coming along. Bless you. Technology has developed, and boom. This week, H.265 got approved. Now, why is this a big deal? It's basically just a way of compressing your data so you get like higher quality videos in smaller data packets.
How come it's just one more number? I don't understand.
I think it seems to imply
that this is like the 65th generation of their video upgrades.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, they're really slowing down on us.
Seriously, because it's been like 5 years. I don't know. I don't know how the numbering system works. It may be, I don't know, because they did other things. It actually was a really big upgrade. Like, it has built-in stuff for single frame. It has a built-in compatibility for single frame shots or pictures, but super high quality pictures. And I actually saw a comparison where it was a bunch of pictures where it was like they took a picture uncompressed, and then they took a picture with all the different formats where they are all the same size file, and then showed you the quality based on the size of the file. And the uncompressed versus the H.265, I couldn't tell the difference. And your JPEG was terrible. I mean, the pixels were like size of quarters. It was awful. I was just like, it was amazing how the compression rates that they're getting. And so they've done a lot with sound quality and video quality and just doing everything with it. It's a huge upgrade. One of the big reasons why everybody's excited about it is not only is it going to improve data compression, but they're talking about how if you incorporate this process into your 4K TVs, now all of a sudden you don't have to worry about sending data. And it's like, it was like one of those things where because the big question is, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? Okay, you got high quality video. Let's say you upgrade all that high quality video and you've got your super high quality TV. How are you going to send that data? It's four times as much data. It's going to take a ton of time. And boom, problem solved. It actually will take less time than the old format at 1080p, which is like, whoa, what? Holy cow.
Dude, streaming's the future, man. If you were ever in doubt, this is it right here.
It's true, and it's I find it exciting, and they're talking about how like HD videos for your for Netflix, it's going to be stupid. Why wouldn't you do everything in HD now? Because it's only a little bit more than standard def, and you get super HD. So
here's the thing that really got me in this article too. It was just kind of a subtle thing where they were like, so they just came out with it, but we probably won't start to see any mass adoption until it really gets embedded in the chips and hardware. So it could be 12 to 18 months before it really starts, you know, taking off.
Right.
I'm like, 12 to 18 months? You just made that sound like it was a really long time. Which, do you remember, like, they would be like, so we invented this new technology, and you should start seeing it in somewhere between 5 and 10 years.
Right.
And you're just like, oh,
see,
great.
That's a lame
way to get my hopes up. Well, I mean, that's the way it used to be.
Right.
And that just shows you the level of acceleration here where they're like, yeah, you're going to have to wait. I mean, it could be a little bit more than a year.
Well, and it'll be a big announcement. Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. It'll be a big announcement on the iPhone 57 and the iPad. Well, I guess it'll be the iPad 5 and the iPhone 5S or whatever they call it, where it'll be like, man, we're doing the H.265 format, which is super HD. And the reason why this is important for those of you that don't know, this has to do with hardware acceleration. Basically, what you do is, in order to decompress these, you have to run a really complicated algorithm to take a tiny bit of data and you expand it and it becomes huge, and then the computer runs that huge data. In order to do that quickly, or in order to do that, you can do that with a program where it does it all virtually. And that requires a lot of power, and it takes up cycle time. But if you do hardware acceleration, where you literally hardwire that extrapolation, you can make a tiny little chip that all the data goes into, and then it just expands it for you. All of a sudden it really lowers the power consumption, and it makes it runs tremendously faster, which is the reason why Apple didn't want Flash in the first place, because Flash was a virtual system of doing that, and H.264 was a hardware way of doing that, and so it was a lot faster and saved battery life, pretty cool. So I'm sure you'll see it coming around with Apple and the next generation of the A6, and Google and NVIDIA and everybody else will get on that bandwagon lickety split. So it'll be fun. I'm excited.
Yeah. So in the meantime, before we all get stuck sitting in front of our televisions watching 4K TV,
I know,
it's probably not a bad thing to get out and do some walking.
Yeah. Okay?
I don't know why, but this last week or so has just been like pedometer, you know, crazy. I have a friend, he just got a Fitbit little walking thingy.
Yeah,
and, so I've been paying attention to it. It does the wristwatch. It also clips on and it tracks your sleeping and how many steps you take, like, and how many flights of stairs you go up stuff like that. Anyways, so he's been doing it, and I was doing some tracking with my own pedometer, which I actually don't like. It was given to me for free, and
you don't like it, but you've had it for like 5 years.
No. I buy the cheapy, like the $9 ones, and they last a while, and then they break or the battery dies, and then I move on to the next one. This one was given to me, so I was like, oh, cool, a free one, and I've been using it, and I'm just like, I don't trust these numbers at all. So, because I did, they're significantly lower than any other one I've ever used. So then I was tracking it with his, and yeah, come to find out it's like ridiculously lower. So I'm like, okay, great. But not everyone wants to buy a pedometer and wear it on their belt. But there are times when they're like, oh, I'd like to know approximately how many steps I've taken.
Right.
Well, there's an app for that now.
Oh, baby.
It is called Moves. All right. And I'm going to see if I can attempt to share it to you. Just search it in the App Store. Okay. So here's how many steps I've... Yes.
Okay.
Here's how many steps I have taken. I have taken, what is that, 4,729?
Yay.
30? so it does do, uses an accelerometer, so when you're walking, it can feel you walking.
That's not cheating.
Yeah. Oh, you know.
He's sitting there shaking it, for those of you who are listening.
Yeah. So it shows you that. You know, which in itself, you know, you're like, okay, cool. If you're driving, though, it can tell that you're driving. And okay, so what happens is it tells you your steps. And then what it has is, like, you could see I was, like, a total lazy face today. But then it gives you a timeline of your day. So it says that I was in a place, and I stayed there for a while. And then I went on a 43-minute walk.
Nice.
And then I've been stationary again. Now, for this 43-minute walk, you can actually click on it. And it will tell you, here's where you walked.
Nice. So does it leave your location services on at all times?
Yes.
Yeah, that would not work for me.
They said, you know, which is like the, here, actually yesterday was kind of interesting. See, like here yesterday, I drove, I transported myself. There I am transporting myself.
Nice.
For 9 minutes, and then I walked around a store for 10 minutes. Then I transported myself for 12 minutes, went somewhere else, and did some walking and running. So, anyways, and then it can even in that place that you're at, it'll tell you on the map, here's where you were.
Nice.
It's a known place. You should know. So, anyways, yes, it does use your battery. Yes, I have noticed it. They claim that they try to be very smart about it, and you know, if it notices you're like not moving, it doesn't ping your locations and stuff. You know, which any kind of always on location device, you know, it's going to have some sort of battery impact, which I think, right, you know, is one of the major downfalls. Yeah.
Google, I'm looking at you with Google Maps, okay? I'm sick of your garbage. Turn off. If I'm not using the map, if I'm not currently routing a direction, turn off the location services immediately. Oh, my goodness. They use it as an excuse. You open up the apps, and they're like, cool, now we get to know where you're at. I'm like, no, you're draining my batteries. It drives me crazy.
So I understand that. So I've been trying it. Just for the record, I can still confirm that my free pedometer, well, they're both free, but my physical pedometer is still running a little low. But I hopefully can, you know, figure out what the correction should be. What I need is a third pedometer, and then I can, you know, try to figure out which one's actually right.
You know, when you're actually, it's funny, when you're doing sensors, what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to have three all identical all in a row. So if one fails, you can keep the average of the two. If it gets too far out of band, you're supposed to take the value of the middle one. It's actually all sorts of.
It is cool.
So I do have a question though. And you might be the one to ask me, does the Fitbit take your heart rate?
No.
Okay. Are there any that monitor your heart rate?
Maybe. Not by Fitbit, but I'm sure there's some.
Yeah. Because that to me is like, from what I've learned, the best way to actually figure out like your health is by tracking your heart rate over time. It's like the most accurate way to track how many calories you've burned during a workout, for example, is to track your heart rate over time. Combine that with your height and weight and everything, and so just as surprising to me that there aren't more like heart rate trackers that will connect to your iPhone and will also do a pedometer and stuff. But I don't know, maybe that's crazy complicated. But that's what I'm looking
for. It might exist. I don't know.
That's what I'm looking for. If anybody knows, send us a comment somewhere. on Twitter, or Facebook, or Google Plus, or the website, or Facebook,
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know.